In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very blessed Mother's Day to all of the mothers here present, and to all of us whose mothers have passed from this life to the next. We pray in gratitude for the gift of life that they bestowed upon us. Now we know that thou knowest all things and dost not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason we believe that thou comest forth from God. All things have been made plain and clear to the disciples. The Lord speaks to them in unfettered truths, so that they may know who he is, what it is that he has come to accomplish, and their relationship with him, and by extension, their relationship with the Father and the Spirit. Nothing is left to chance or doubt or confusion. All is laid forth very clearly. And for this reason, they are now able to say also without doubt or confusion or fear that indeed they understand and knowest because he knowest all things, and therefore because of his knowledge made manifest in how he has proclaimed and lived, they know they should not question him, but rather have faith and confidence in him. And when all is said and done, brothers and sisters, it really is quite that simple. Our lives must be lives of faith, not to question, not to wonder, but to trust in the Lord. This lack of questioning is not that we might put before the Lord a desire to better understand what his will is. But the questioning that they are making reference to, and the questioning that oftentimes creates difficulties in our relationship with God, is that questioning that begins from a posture of I'm right and God is wrong. Those questions that arise not from a genuine desire to do the things of God, but rather to justify the things of men. Those are the questions that should never be asked. And if they are indeed asked, there should be no waiting for a particular answer. Because to question God, his divine providence, is to doubt that God indeed loves us. This is, after all, what the Lord himself testifies to. The Father loves you because you have loved me and have placed faith in me. We cling to Christ. And in that intimate relationship, the fruit is not only the new life that Christ has gained for us, but the beautiful fact that we are then drawn into relationship with our Heavenly Father and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our Easter season almost has gone by so very quickly that we now are anticipating the ascension of our Lord, who he has told us he leaves in order that he might send the Spirit upon us. And at that moment, we will have everything we need. And in truth, now we have everything we need. And so if we might wonder, can I cooperate with the grace of God? Can I do the things of God? Do I have the strength to be better in God? The answer is always, yes, you do. You can do the things of God. You can be better in God. You can cooperate with God. Are we hampered by concupiscence and original sin and all the sins that oftentimes present from that? Yes, sadly, it is something with which we must struggle. But the power of God, faith in God, the reality of God is more powerful than our sinfulness. This too is something that we must believe. We are not slaves to our passions. We are not held captive by the things of this world. If we fall into that trap, then we easily become susceptible to the temptations of the world. But it's not as if a gun is being held to our head, and even if it were, we would choose God, even over our own lives. This is what our faith demands from us, demands from me, if we are going to own our statements and take responsibility for ourselves. Now, to be clear, this has never been an easy task. Adam and Eve had everything, and they squandered it because of the lie that Satan whispered in their ear. And so we too can understand how easy it is at times to give over to the world, because we have something greater than Adam and Eve. We have the fullness of revelation, the fullness of God's love, the dignity of relationship as sons and daughters, not merely creatures in the hands of a beloved creator, but children in the hands of a father who loves us. And like Adam and Eve, we easily squander it for the lies that the world tells to us. But we also know of this great love that God has for us and the confidence we should have in that love, which then gives us the courage and strength we need to continue to move forward. There are so many virtues necessary in the spiritual life that oftentimes it's hard to say which one is the most significant. Of course, faith, hope, and love, that triad that Scripture tells us is the foundation of the life of virtue. All of those virtues emanating from the reality of humility, which makes us open and pliable in the hands of God. But I set before your reflection the virtue of perseverance. Stay and remain steadfast and constant, no matter how hard or difficult or arduous it may be. It is hard, and it is difficult, and it is arduous, but so what? God has given you new life. He's bestowed strength upon you. There is no reason for fear or doubt or giving up or over to the world. And so stop questioning God as if somehow you know more than He. Trust in Him completely, even and especially in those moments where things are not clear and we don't know what is going to happen or what the future may actually be. And this is not only a conversation for the immediate future that we're all anticipating in a few weeks, but even if we desire and receive everything that we want, there will always be that temptation to want more, to seek more, instead of finding our peace and our satisfaction and our calm in God. In truth, brothers and sisters, there is nothing this world can give you that God will not give you more of. There's nothing the world can provide for you that God will not bestow upon you as well. If you're thinking in terms of money and possessions and power, then yes, go seek those. But you will always be in a posture of having to seek over and over and over again. Never satisfied, never complete, never at peace. But if you contemplate the things of God and what it is that God does indeed bestow upon you, that peace and that tranquility, that harmony that rests in the very depths of our beings, in the depths of our souls, that is the things and the realities that you seek, then God is the only one who can truly provide them for you. And so believe in God. And let your belief in God, as St. James always makes clear throughout the whole of his epistle, let your belief in God, your faith in God, then be translated into the actions that you take. Live lives that people can see by the manner in which you live them, that you actually believe in God, that you actually love God. It's far too easy to speak about loving God in my heart, but then never manifesting that through mercy and compassion and forgiveness, desiring reconciliation and that harmony that we share with God, so too we might share with one another. Again, this is not an easy task, and I stand before you as an imperfect and failed practitioner of the very advice and exhortation that I'm giving you, but the exhortation is true nonetheless. You must always strive to live rightly because we live rightly with God, to live rightly with men as well. You believe. You believe and have been loved. You return that faith. You return that love first to God in gratitude and thanksgiving with hearts full of joy. And then through the graces received by that intimate union, you go forth and you love men as God has loved you. It is, after all, that simple. We now know that thou knowest all things and dost not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason we believe that thou comest forth from God. Indeed, he does, brothers and sisters, has come into the world that we may have new life and have that abundantly. For this, as we always should, let us rejoice and give thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.